Well, good morning and welcome to the Backshed Bible Study. It is Monday, April the 1st, 2024, April Fool's Day. Hopefully, none of us being too foolish today, but I am glad that you all are here joining me today. It's going to be a fun morning here in the shed. Welcome. Okay, so here I am. I'm back in my office. I will hopefully be back in the shed next week, but in light of having lots of things that I need to get done, I'm hanging out in my office yet once again today as we do a decently brief Backshed Bible study this morning, but hopefully it will be in depth, even though it is brief. Hopefully we'll have some good solid content for you to enjoy. Hope you had a fantastic Easter, and we had a great Easter here at Sunrise Community Church. Tons of people were here, lots of friends and family joining along. April's family all came up from Fresno. We had a great time with all of them joining us. Big celebration yesterday afternoon in our backyard, and great time. And of the last several years, this Easter seemed to be one of the more significant ones for me, just in regard to the flow of everything that happened over that entire Easter week, from the triumphal entry on Palm Sunday, through the things that we talked about here in the mornings each of the days, to our Wednesday night prayer experience here at the church, which was just amazing. If you didn't get to be a part of that, when we do it again next year, you definitely want to be a part of that. And then our Friday, Good Friday service, which was just incredible. I had so many people saying, wow, thank you. That service was amazing. And then Easter Sunday yesterday and celebrating the way we did. So I hope you enjoyed it too. I want to say hi to my friends joining us. Barb and Rick, I'm assuming, joining us out there in Ohio. My friend Sean joining me in Kentucky, and lots. Angie, you're on this morning. Alyssa, you're on this morning. Good to have you guys here. I am wrapping up. I'm going to wrap up Easter this morning. I thought this would be a fun way to transition into what we'll be doing in the next few weeks on Sundays at church, and So join me along here. I'm going to be in the book of Luke here this morning at the very end of Luke, chapter 24. We have the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we're going to transition from Luke into the book of Acts. You'll find out why here in a second. But we know what happened with Jesus, right? He raised from the dead. The tomb was empty. And in Mary, and let's see where we are here at Luke chapter 24, where we have at verse 10, it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other woman with them who told these things to the apostles because they had seen the empty tomb, right? But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter, it says, rose and ran to the tomb, stopping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. And that's that moment where it's becoming very real for Peter that everything that Jesus had said about himself was true, and that as Peter had confessed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, he is now discovering that very personally. We have the whole road to Emmaus, which is a really cool story, and I'll save that for you to read on another day. Several years ago, when we were in between pastors here at Sunrise, and I had the privilege of preaching on an Easter Sunday morning, that was the story that I chose to preach about on Easter Sunday, was what happened on the road to Emmaus. It was a little different part of an Easter story, but it's one that I think a lot of us can identify with. So I would encourage you, go back, check that out. Kind of the heart of Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through roughly 35 or so. And then you have over the next 40 days or so, all of Jesus's appearances to his disciples. And by the way, I know I've got over here in one screen, I can see what you're seeing, and I see how the camera moves back and forth. I hope that is not too annoying for you. That's just this cool feature the iPhone has as it records here. So there you go. Anyway, and I hope you're enjoying all of my colors here of organizing. I have this new system that I've put in place. This is where red is the beginning of a project, yellow is in the middle of it, and green is when I'm pretty much finished. So that's, if I go over here, the camera moves over there, right? So there, this one, hey, we're going to have an elder retreat. I paid the deposit. So I like to be organized in this kinds of things. All right. And Alyssa, thank you for thinking that that's cool, what the camera does there. I'm still trying to get used to it a little bit. Okay, back to Jesus's appearances. Again, this is over a period of probably about 40 days that he is appearing to his disciples. Verse 36, as they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." They're startled, they're frightened. They thought they saw a spirit. "Why are you troubled?" he says. "And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands, my feet, that I have, touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." He showed them his hands and feet, and while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything to eat?" And he gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before him. Okay, so it's fascinating to me how the disciples just aren't quite sure what's going on as he is there amongst them. And he says to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." He opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost ends of the earth," right? "And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed and with power from on high." And so here we have this key point that Jesus says to them, "I'm actually getting ready to leave you again." Okay, he's going to ascend. We're going to see that here in this next verse. And he says, "But you're going to go into the city and you're going to wait, and I am going to send you the promise." We know that to mean that he is going to send them the Holy Spirit, who is going to be his presence with them, in them, as they go about. They don't know that yet. Okay. So verse 50, he led them out as far as Bethany, which, again, if you go up Mount of Olives around the other side, Luke was talking about yesterday in his sermon about running through that area. Lifting up his hands, he blessed them, and while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. Okay, and so that is the end of the Gospel of Luke, and it's this amazing moment where they're just sitting there going, okay, this was amazing. He raised from the dead. He spent time with us, and then he's left us again. But he said, "I'm going to give you a promise, and you need to go and wait for it and wait for me." I think, you know, of all the times that Jesus told his disciples over those years that they were following him, And he would say, you know, go wait in the garden, okay, and pray. Go do this, wait. So many times they were impetuous. So many times they didn't want to wait. They were in a hurry to figure it all out. I have no doubt at this moment they said, he said wait, we will wait, right? They now understand that they can trust him to be faithful to carry out what he has said. I mean, the man said he would raise from the dead, he raised from the dead, okay? So, Christy, exactly, right? They finally got it. They finally got it. It's there. And so I love, this is why I'm going from Luke into the book of Acts, is that Luke wrote the book of Acts. And if you've ever heard me talk about this before, I've always said, you know, Luke, the Gospel of Luke tells the story of Jesus Christ and his work on this earth. The book of Acts tells the story of Jesus Christ and his work through the Holy, through the church, and under the power of his Holy Spirit, doing it through them. So you have the work of Christ on earth. Now you're going to have the work of the church, God's people, us, empowered by the Holy Spirit to do that work. All right. So we're going to start in Acts chapter 1. And I'm just going to do the first few verses, and then we're going to be done for this morning. Okay. Because we're going to pick this up in our Sunday morning services for the next few weeks. So I don't want to give it all away. But it's so good to pick up on this transition into the book of Acts. In the first book, O Theophilus, I've dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them about after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem. Hey, we just talked about that, didn't we? But to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Okay, so now we get a little bit of a bigger part of the story that Luke tells us here. At first, all we hear is that Jesus told them to go wait, right? Go wait in Jerusalem, hang out, okay? And at that point, we're like, okay, we trust. But then we find out he actually said more than that. He said, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So they actually have been given a bit of a timeline. They've been given some hope that, like, hey, this is very soon that we're going to see this, whatever it is, happen. So you better believe we're going to wait. Think of it like this. You know, we send kids to camp. They go to camp, and they often come home with that crazy spiritual high. And one of the things that we as youth pastors always would work on and want to capitalize on at camp is you have a student coming home from camp, they're on fire for the Lord, and so you want to have stuff for them to do with the youth group ASAP, right? You want to start in on discipleship that next week. You want to start in on doing all these things so that you can capture that kid so that they don't have to wait much longer. And you know, we look back in all of history, and the Israelites hated waiting when God chose them to told them to wait. The disciples even hated waiting. Like, it's hard. But they had something to anticipate, something to look forward to, was that in the next few days, Christ was going to do something big in them, around them. And it was truly going to be big. We have today that hope to look forward to, that it's not that long till Christ returns yet again to take his people with him. And that is a hope that we have. We have a hope in eternity. Some of us are eagerly awaiting that and not enjoying the things that are going on this earth, but we have hope. And his disciples had hope, knowing that something was going to happen. We too today can have hope that something is going to happen. We don't always know what it's going to be, though. All right?
Yeah,
exactly. So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" They're showing they still don't completely get it, okay? They are still thinking on an earthly spectrum. They are not thinking eternity. They are not thinking kingdom of God. They are thinking on this earth, is when is Israel going to reign again, right? That's what they are thinking. And he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the whole..." So he's not talking about the kingdom. He's not talking about Israel. He says, you, follower of Christ, will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And when he said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they're gazing into heaven, as he went, behold, two men standing by them in white robes said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way you saw him go into heaven." Okay. And at that point, they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. And so there they stand in the upper room, and they gather together, and they wait. And they wait, and pretty soon we're going to find out. In the second chapter of Acts, you find the Holy Spirit coming in and indwelling them and blowing them away and empowering them to be God's voice on this earth. So God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to be on this earth, to live, but then to die. And that's what the Gospels tell, that story. And yet the book of Acts then picks right up where they leave off as Jesus ascends into heaven for eternity and leaves his Holy Spirit with the church to empower them to be his voice in the world. And that is some amazing hope and some amazing responsibility that each of us have as we get to head out and about, is that we get to live out the gospel through the power of the Holy Spirit. Did you pick all that up? I hope you did. That's where we're going over the next few weeks on Sunday mornings. Excited for that. I get to be in there and be a part of a couple of those messages. So hope you will join us on Sunday mornings. Hope you'll join me back here. I'm hoping to be back at my actual shed next week as we look forward to what God has for us. A notable undertaking, a humble calling, a powerful opportunity that we have. That's right, that we have. So many times, like, "God, why would you use me?" Well, that's not my question to ask. He's wants to do it, so let's follow along and allow him to do it. Let's pray. We're going to be on our way. Thank you, Lord, and it is a privilege to be here this morning, joined by friends all over this country. Lord, thank you for the gift that we have of the technology that you have caused your people to make that enables us to be able to connect like this morning. And I pray as we go that we will know the power of your Holy Spirit alive in us, filling us to do your work, Lord, to be your representatives, as you say, to be your ambassadors on this earth. And so with that, Lord, we go in the power of your Spirit today, celebrating what you did in Jesus Christ and raising him from the dead, and now him ascending to heaven, Lord. We give ourselves to you, we thank you, we love you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you all so much for joining me today, this April 1st. Don't be a fool. Don't be fooled as you go out there today. Have a great time. I will see you next week right back here in the shed. God bless you.
Thank you for joining me for the Backshed Bible Study Podcast today.
If you enjoyed it, please be sure to subscribe and leave a 5-star review. The Backshed is hosted by yours truly, Cliff Carey, and is a ministry of Sunrise Community Church in Fair Oaks, California. The Backshed Bible Study can be viewed live every Monday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on Facebook at facebook.com/sunrisecommunityonline. All video episodes are also available at youtube.com/sunrisecommunitychurch. For more information about Sunrise and its ministries, go to www.sunrise.church. We hope you're able to join us again next time here in the Backshed.